Now, the last thing here is the postponement inside the kingdom. In verse 30, he says, "Be patient and wait. Let both grow together until." Oh, how I love that word, until. One of these days, not far off, until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, "Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles with the purpose of getting ready to burn them." Now here's what that means. As this age draws to a close, evil is going to become more pronounced. You can spot it out there in the world, especially anywhere. And it's everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere. And it's advancing everywhere. And he says, as the age progresses, those that represent evil are going to get more and more together. You just look right here in Memphis. Right here in Memphis. The lines are being formed where there is an evident difference between wheat and tares. They're being gathered together. I mean, right here, right under our eyes, if you have any discerning eye, it's evident to see they're being polarized, not on the basis of society or levels in society or ranks among men, but spiritual relationship. And evil is becoming more vocal. There are people who do not mind telling you that they hate Jesus Christ. And there is a polarization taking place here. This is exactly what Jesus said. On the other side, he's beginning to get his people together so that the wheat is beginning to look more like wheat and it's beginning to bear more fruit. Although the ranks are very small and there are population explosions in Christianity throughout the world, especially outside the United States. But one of these days there's going to come a big gathering. And the sower who sowed this to start with is going to descend in the skies as the skies are rolled apart like a scroll, the Bible says. And he's going to, in an instant, gather out his wheat and leave tares and everything else all behind. And the Bible tells us he's doing this in preparation by the angels of heaven in the closing part of this age. When you read the book of Revelation, every time there is a judgment on the earth, and especially through the tribulation, it's like an angel had a scythe in his hand and he scythes down a big part of mankind. He comes back a second time and scythes down another big part of mankind. He scythes it down another time. And in Revelation chapter 14, it says, "The end is here, the great harvest of the ages. Go out and reap." And so he goes out in judgment, not to reap unto God, but to gather together the tares to be burned in the fire. Now, let me tell you how Jesus closed this, and then we'll be done. Over in the 36th through the 43rd verses, I want to just point out the way he interpreted that postponement, until. He said, you see, God has good reason for waiting until. First, he wants to make full proof of sin so that nobody will be able to criticize his justice and his judgment. Everybody will know that they deserve what they get because they will realize then how bad sin is, that it is an infinite crime against an infinite God and deserves an infinite punishment, and that's hell. And the other reason for postponement is to give full protection to the saints, that they won't be torn up as the tares are gathered out. Now listen to his closing interpretation. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Verse 39. The harvest is the end of the... Now the King James Version says world. It's not cosmos, it's ionos, it's age. The harvest is the consummation of this age. You see, this is not the last age of world history. It's the last age of history as we know it, but there's a millennium coming after this age right here on this earth when Christ will be totally in charge. The harvest is the consummation of the age, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the reaper, the tares, are gathered and burned in the fire. Now please note that. So shall it be in the consummation of this age. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend. That means those who not only sin, but they cause others to sin. And they are those who simply sin. Those which do iniquity, so there are two divisions of tares, and shall cast them into, the King James Version says, a furnace of fire. There's a definite article there. It's literally the furnace of fire. You have any question what he's talking about? That's right. He's talking about hell. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be weeping, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then, and I'm glad he ended it all like this, Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. You see, all the tear-like structure in them will be gone by then. And they'll reflect all the light and life of Christ. They shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then he closes in that awful way. He who has ears to hear, let him be careful that he hears. And that's what these parables are all about. You see, God is all light, and in him is no darkness at all. Satan is all darkness, and in him is all light, is all darkness, and no light at all. Man is in the middle. He's the battleground between darkness and light, between evil and good, between Christ and Satan. And he has a choice to make because there is a struggle within him between good represented by Christ and evil represented by Satan. He has to choose which way he will go. And the only way to choose right is to open his life to Christ, who only can make him a child of the kingdom, and receive Christ into his life so that he becomes born again. And then Christ can turn right around and sow him in the world to rescatter that seed in the lives of the persons nearest to him so that others can become children of the kingdom. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and bow your heads with me and close your eyes and be in a spirit of prayer. The choir is going to sing in a minute our hymn of invitation. We may have a last moment to invite Christians. If there is not the principle of the kingdom in you, the seed sown, germinated, produced spiritual life, you've been born again, and then you have turned around and been re-sown in your community so that you're sowing the seeds of truth where you are and others are coming to Christ, then we need adjustment today to that principle of the kingdom. That's the only principle God has ever given, and we need adjustment to it. Is that principle being fulfilled in you right now? And then that person here who is without Christ, you are in the field of the world, what the Bible calls tares. And if you die like that or you're alive like that, when Jesus comes again and your heart is unchanged and you're not born again, Christ does not literally live in you as life of your life and heart of your heart and breath of your breath and thought of your thought. If Christ does not live in you, then you'll be gathered together and burned in the furnace of fire in hell. And I take that literally. Jesus interpreted every other part of the parable, but he didn't interpret the fire because it's literal. That means heaven and hell are the issues. How can we go away and ever be the same when we know things like that? We are in an emergency state, and God wants your heart. The Holy Spirit speaks to you and invites you and calls you. We want to ask you to let Christ have his way in your life and do what he tells you today. There are those here who should come in this invitation today on promise of church letter or by statement or for baptism as the church receives members. And more than anything else, if Christ is not alive in you, you need to come repenting of your sins, opening your heart to him, receiving him into your life as your Savior and Lord before you leave this place today. The choir is going to sing our hymn of invitation. As they sing and you pray, you do what God puts in your heart to do just now and come as he leads you to come.